ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ನಮಃಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಷ್ಟಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ. ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತೀ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶತಾರಿಣಿ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸರಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. Hare Krishna. So we see from this verse two main points. Prabhupada has directly put these two points in the translation. We don't have to look beyond that. It is very explicitly stated in the translation itself. First point is, in every respect, Krishna is the source of the sages and demigods. And the second point is, neither the demigod nor the sages know Krishna. So the first point here is very important. In every respect, Krishna is the source of everything. He is the source of the demigods and he is the source of the sages. So we can see, if he is the source of the demigods and the sages, then definitely he is the source of everything and he is also the source of us. This point we must understand. So we go into this point and day in day out we chant Chatur Shloka. 10.8 of Bhagavad Gita states, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante maam bhuda bhava samanvitah. So these first two lines, Aham sarvasya prabhavo, I am the source of all material and spiritual planets. So material is covered, spiritual is covered. So in the first line itself, Krishna says that he is the source. And then the second line he says, mata sarvam pravartate. He says that everything emanates from me. So everything means everything. We can't say that, you know, I emanated from Krishna and the Prabhu sitting here does not emanate from Krishna. When Krishna says everything, everything emanates from Krishna. So we must come to understand that, and Prabhupada says in the purport, he goes on to say that Krishna is the source of everything, and then he goes on to say that he is sarva karana karanam. He is the cause of all causes. We hear this day in and day out, Krishna is the cause of all causes, and then we are so happy, we say that yes, Krishna is the cause of all causes. But we must understand, cause of all causes. When we say all causes, means past, present and future. Krishna was the cause of everything in the past, he is the cause of everything now, and he will always be the cause of everything that is going to exist in this material world or spiritual world. So we come to see this, if he was the cause in the past and he is the cause in the present and the future, then logically even we will know that before Krishna nothing existed. No one existed before Krishna, nothing existed before Krishna. So if he existed before everyone, then how do we know Krishna? Practically speaking, materially speaking, that our parents are our source. We come out from our parents. But until and unless the mother or the father comes to the child and says, I am your mother, I am working as a doctor, my age, this is my age, and these are my friends. Until the mother comes or the father comes and states this, no one is going to know. The child will never know who the mother is and who the father is. That is one aspect. That is one way the child can know that the mother exists in such a way, because the mother has stated. Then there is another aspect. The second aspect is a close associate of the mother. Let's say the mother doesn't have time and she leaves her child in the care of, let's say, a nanny. And then she's a friend or he's a friend of the parent. And the parent and that nanny or the caretaker says, your mother is really a very nice person. You should respect her. You know, you should respect her. You should take care of her. You know, she's a doctor. She's very highly qualified. So this associate will come and say, of your mother. And then you come to understand. So these two points we must first imbibe in our heart. these are the two ways that your parents can be known. And same way, Krishna can only be known by these two methods. One is, he himself reveals unto you, or his close associate. These two points we'll look at later part of the class. But then we come, Prabhupada says in the translation, neither the demigods nor the sages know Krishna. So if the demigods and sages don't know Krishna, we are a tiny ant compared to the demigods and the sages. We are nothing in that sense. So how can we even remotely, you know, go close to know Krishna? It's almost inconceivable. So it is rightfully stated, Krishna is the source. So he existed before everyone and everything. So because he existed before everyone and everything, there is no chance, unless we get some information about Krishna, there is no way that we can know this. And on top of this, since we can't know him in this aspect, but Krishna is a little tricky. He goes on further. If you read the Maha Upanishad, in one of the verses Krishna states, I am the creator, definitely I am the creator. I created Shiva, I created the patriarchs, everyone I created. But they don't know that I created them. They don't know. Why they don't know? Because I have placed them under delusion. Krishna says, very proudly he says, that I have created, but I have placed them into delusion, so they do not know. And this few points, if you see, is nicely summarized in the first verse of Bhagavatam. It's very, very beautifully written by Vyasadeva. It's really beautiful. If we chant this verse and we read the word for word synonyms that Prabhupada has actually written, it's really beautiful. We'll just chant the verse. Vyasadeva nicely pays his obeisances to Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Then he goes on to say, Janmadhyasya yatonvaya ditaratas Charteshva bhiknaswara Tene brahma hridaya dikavaye Muyanti achuraya Tejo vari mridam yata vinimayo Yatra trisargo mrisha Dhamna svena sada nirasta kuhakam Satyam param dhimahi. It's a beautiful verse. The first word itself, he says, Janmadhyasya, you are, Krishna, you are the source of all creation, sustenance and destruction. He says, explicitly he says, that you are the source. And then he goes on to say, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye, Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye. He then says that you are the one who imparted this knowledge unto Brahmaji. Who is Brahmaji? He is the creator of the universe. He got the energy from Krishna and he is the creator. So he is the first living being. And if Krishna is the one who imparted the knowledge to Brahma, so who imparted the knowledge to Krishna? No one. This fact is very inconceivable. And then he goes on to say, Muyantiya Suraya. And Krishna, you are the one who places the great sages and the great demigods in illusion. So these two lines, actually not the whole verse, these two lines summarizes the point that Krishna is the source of everything and he is the one without beginning or without end, because he is the one who first imparted this knowledge to Brahma, the first living being. And Krishna, you are the one who has put everyone, the great sages and demigods, that includes us, into delusion. So this point we must understand very, very clearly. So we can see it is not very straightforward as how your mother is going to come and tell you that I am your mother, and your father is going to come and tell you I am your father. Krishna is not going to do that. And even if he does, he comes to material universe. And then what he does is, he comes as a very cute boy, he comes as Lord Damodar, he comes and displays his activities. But then he displays, as Prabhupada writes in the purport, some uncommon activities. So uncommon means is differentiated from common. That means we cannot understand that much. He comes, he sucked the life air out of Putana. And when Putana fell dead, she was a few miles long. And when the Vrajavasis saw that, they were bewildered. And that bewilderment comes from Krishna. So he does all this and he comes to show special favor, but still then he puts them in bewilderment. So this also we must understand. But the beauty of it is, Prabhupada says, Krishna can be known. So after all this bewilderment, placing us in illusion, Krishna is the beginning without any beginning, Prabhupada says that still Krishna can be known. And he is not only known by those devotees we read, Dhruva Maharaj, Brahmaji, we can read about them, and they have known Krishna because Krishna has revealed. But Prabhupada is saying, even we sitting in our houses can know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the greatest person. But even we, the tiny ant, can know Krishna. And that is the mercy of Prabhupada. But first, before understanding that how we can know Krishna, we must first know that if it's so easy, why don't we know Krishna? If it's so simple, why the living beings, why the demigods, why the sages don't know Krishna? Personally, I can't speak for the demigods or the sages, but as a living being, I can share that why I don't know Krishna. And 2 points comes. First point is, we are still on the sensory plane. That means our activities, our thoughts, just go about the senses. Second point is, by nature we are very rebellious. We are really very rebellious. So even if the process is simple, we will rebel. Why is it simple? It has to be complicated. So these 2 points we must remember. So now we go on to sensory plane. We are situated on a sensory plane. Everything takes place according to the senses. We are directed by the senses. And this is grossly manifested as what Prabhupada says, mental speculation. He beautifully writes in the purport, the demigods, they can speculate to the limits of their imperfect senses. That is really direct. To the limits of their imperfect senses. And Lord Shiva, if we see, and these demigods, they destroy the universe when it comes to an end. They are so powerful. And Prabhupada says that they can speculate to the maximum of their imperfect senses. If Lord Shiva destroys the universe, and if he has imperfect senses, we can't even destroy, say, this mic stand on our own. How much imperfect sense we must have. And so it relates back to us again. So this mental speculation is really very important. Mental speculation, we say day in, day out, Prabhu, you shouldn't speculate. You know, you should just read, follow Prabhupada, don't speculate. And then we see, what is this speculation? Speculation, the definition of speculation is, you reach a conclusion or an opinion after contemplation. You reach a conclusion or an opinion after a little contemplation. So just keep that in mind. And Prabhupada goes a little further and defines mental speculation. He says, it's actually the expansion of your sense power, artificial expansion of your sense power. That means what happens is, our sense is there, and we artificially try to expand it. That means, very bluntly put, you just sit and just say, yes Krishna, yes, you know, this is how the way Krishna will be. Nobody is around, no sadhu, no spiritual master, nothing, no Bhagavatam, you're just sitting down, yes, this is how Krishna will be. So you are artificially trying to expand how Krishna will be, but the thing is, it hits a roadblock. Because why? Imperfect senses. The Lord is transcendental. So with imperfect senses, definitely the roadblock will be there. And so we come to see that by mental speculation, we cannot understand Krishna because of imperfect senses, and we expand the sense power artificially. But why? Why can't we understand Krishna through mental speculation? We must understand that. We understand that we can't understand Krishna through mental speculation, but why this mental speculation does not bring us close to Krishna? This Daksha gives us the answer. In 6th canto, 4th chapter, 29th verse, he prays to Lord Vishnu. As part of the Hamsa Guya prayers, he prays. He says that, Yatyan niruktam vachasa nirupitam Yaksha birva manasotayasya Ma bhut swarupam gunarupanitatan Savai gunapaya visarga lakshanaha. It's really beautiful. In that first 2 lines, he describes, Yat yan niruktam vachasa nirupitam. He says that anything expressed by material vibrations, ascertained by material intelligence, or concocted within the material mind, has got nothing to do with the real nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is really very directly put. These 3 things are the products of mental speculation. When you speculate, you're going to express something by material vibration. You're definitely going to say, Krishna is this, Krishna is that. It's not going to be right. Because through imperfect senses, you express material vibration. It comes out as material vibration because it comes through the agency of the senses, which is material. So definitely there is material vibration. And then You try to ascertain that conclusion. You try to come up with a conclusion by ascertaining through material intelligence. If you ascertain anything by material intelligence, you cannot know anything about the spiritual Lord, because it's material intelligence. And then the third thing, concocted within the material mind. Krishna may not be as such, in a certain form or in a certain way, or a certain philosophy in Krishna consciousness may not be at a certain view, but because the mind concocts, it brings that philosophy or that form of Krishna to be in a way which is not. So this is the meaning of concoction. It is come up, it comes about through the mind. So once we concoct, it's totally wrong. We concoct, it is wrong. So the thing is, you express a material vibration, you ascertain by material intelligence, and you concoct within the material mind. These three things, Daksha says, has got nothing to do with the real nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is really directly, explicitly said by Daksha, and this is the real definition of speculation. So by mental speculation, we move away from the Lord. This is what Daksha is saying. But the main point is, sometimes we see, mental speculation, what does it mean? You know, we say that, oh, a certain yogi is sitting in Himalayas, in a cave, and then he's just meditating, he's speculating, and he's seeing different forms of Krishna, this and that. We think about yogis, we think about other impersonalists and all. But the thing is, this speculation begins actually within our own homes. This speculation exists even within us, and that is why life in and life out we are praying to Krishna, Krishna, please, in Damodara Ashtaka we can read, please give me your own prema bhakti. But why are we not getting this prema bhakti? Why really are we not getting? We are asking, if we ask, Krishna has to give. But the problem doesn't lie with him, it lies with us. Really it lies with us. So few points we can take. No, practical experience. Waking up for Mangalarti. Okay? This is how I feel. When I wake up for Mangalarti, 2 o'clock I wake up, and then I open my eyes, I see the clock. Oh, it's 2 o'clock. And I feel so happy, because I can sleep for another 2 hours. I feel really happy. The joy knows no bounds. And then I go back to sleep. 4 o'clock I wake up, and then I say that, this is really bad. Half an hour less. But still 15 minutes. Still there is some allowance, so I sleep 15 minutes, and then I get up, 4:15, and then I think, 4:15, what time did I sleep? 11 o'clock, 11, so 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hours, what did Prabhupada say? At least 6 hours you need sleep. So I mean, I'm supposed to follow Prabhupada, you know, for things that we don't want to follow, Prabhupada comes in, 4:15, sharp, Prabhupada is there, this is what Prabhupada has said, I am going back to sleep. This is what happens naturally for myself, that is. So I sleep. But you see that 20 seconds, it takes place from 4:15 to 4:15 and 20 seconds, that thing takes place. We say that, it's okay, so far I said this, and 5 hours I can still take a bit of rest. These few thoughts come between that time frame of 20 seconds, and that 20 seconds of mental speculation will separate you from Krishna. Just that 20 seconds. And how it happens, it is so direct. You wake up from Mangalarti, what do? Sing some Saradhava. You directly connect yourself with spiritual master. After that, what do? I mean, simultaneously you perform Aarti for Krishna. And then what do? We sing Narasimha Aarti. And then what do we sing? Tulsi Aarti. So what are the four things we are doing? We are trying to connect with our spiritual master and trying to connect him directly and trying to get his blessings. And then we are trying to serve Krishna by performing Aarti. And then what we are trying to do, we are trying to seek the protection and glorify Narasimhadev. And then we are trying to serve the pure devotee Tulsi Maharani. And that 20 seconds of mental speculation will drive all this away from us. Just 20 seconds. And these four things, serving the pure devotee, is just driven out. You know, it is really wonderful. When I wake up, that 20 seconds just drives everything away. And this is how we leave Krishna. Without spiritual master, without Tulsi Maharani, there is no way we can reach Krishna. And that 20 seconds, if it brings us away from them, then where is Krishna and where are we? we are not even miles apart, eons away. There is no way we can come to Krishna. And then it comes to chanting and reading. We say, today there was a bit more work and I slept late, so 16 rounds may be a bit difficult, so 10 rounds. But at my level I'm initiated, I have to chant 16 rounds. So if I can't chant 16 rounds, what is the point of me even chanting one? Speculation comes in. And reading, same thing. If I can't read a chapter, why am I even going to read a verse? At my level I'm supposed to be reading a chapter, man. Why am I even reading a verse? Bhagavatam also close. All this comes about because of what? Mental speculation. It begins from us actually. This mental speculation is always there. And this is what that drives. And the pinnacle of mental speculation is when a disciple does not follow the instructions of his spiritual master. The spiritual master says, he says that, okay, now I give you this instruction, you follow this, everything will work out fine. He says, everything will work out fine. But then he says, yes, Maharaj, I will follow it. You just take your step out of the door, you go home, and then you start thinking, actually, I didn't tell Maharaj the full story. So maybe if I told him the full story, then maybe he would have reacted in a certain way. And then he would have given me a different instruction. So what we are trying to do is, we are speculating there itself. We are not trying to follow the instruction of spiritual master. So what we are doing is, we think that what we think is best. So what we say is, okay, if I reach a certain level of that situation, then I will apply this instruction of Maharaj, then definitely everything will go on fine. But this waiting game, is that whole period of that waiting, is that mental speculation. Really, this mental speculation is so dangerous that it drives out the every single life that we have, you know, in spiritual activity. It just drives it out. So we contemplate, we don't have faith, so we deviate. So directly we see, when we speculate, we move away from Krishna. What happens when we move away from Krishna? As Prabhupada says in the purport, we go towards impersonalism. We get funny ideas. You know, Krishna is like that, Krishna is like this. Oh, Krishna is everywhere. Krishna is in this light, he is in that light. All these funny ideas start creeping in. Because why? We are frustrated. Because of mental speculation, we cannot go to Krishna. So when we don't go to Krishna, what happens? We are frustrated. Naturally, as living beings, we don't attain our goal. We become frustrated. So then funny ideas will start creeping in. So the next point, how to know Krishna? So many problems. Krishna himself placing us in delusion, and we ourselves are putting in mental speculation. So how to know the Lord? And Prabhupada says we can. So Prabhupada doesn't leave just by saying that you can know the Lord. Prabhupada goes on to say that we can know the Lord by studying His words in Srimad Bhagavatam, in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, by simply studying His words. These two words, simply and studying, is the most important. It's really very important. We can see that we can just read Bhagavad Gita and we can read Bhagavatam, but we will not even move an inch close to Krishna. Why? Because we don't study. It is simple, but we make it complex without studying. And this meaning of studying is beautifully given in 12th canto, 13th chapter, 18th verse. These three words that Prabhupada translates, one is Shranavan, hearing, and the next one is Supatan, and he says that it's proper chanting, and he says Vicharana Paro, serious about understanding. These three words summarizes what studies is. First thing is hearing. This is the main thing that we have to imbibe. Without hearing, there is no studies. Then the next point is proper chanting. When you hear, you distribute. You try to propagate. And when you propagate, actually we really see we are the ones who are learning. And when you propagate, you contemplate. Because if you prepare for a class, or you're going to preach to someone, you'll be contemplating, how is this, how is that. Then you'll take Prabhupada's books, you'll read more and you contemplate. And this contemplation gives you experience. You know, you can experience Krishna through the pages of Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. But where it starts from? Hearing. So this hearing is very important. And what must we hear? What we must hear is that transcendental sound vibration of the Lord. This transcendental sound vibration of the Lord is what we must hear. This word transcendence, transcendental, is the key here. Because Prabhupada writes in the purport that in the inferior position, you can never know Krishna. Only when you are in the transcendental position can you know Krishna. So how do we reach this transcendental position? it is only by hearing this transcendental sound vibration that one goes into this transcendental position, and that is how one can come to understand Krishna. So Prabhupada really says we can experience Krishna, we can know Krishna by transcendental sound vibration, and this is also very directly stated in Bhagavatam 1.6.25. Narada Muni says, Etavadukto Pararama Tanmahar Bhutam Nabolingamalingamishwaram Aham Chatasmai Mahatamahiyase Sirshnavanamam Vidadenukam Pitah. So the key word here is Nabolingam and Alingam. Nabolingam means he is personified by sound. Alingam means he is unseen by eyes. This is who Krishna is. He is unseen by the eyes. We are running after Krishna. Krishna, I want to see you. But here Narada Muni says, Narada Muni is the one of the purest devotees of Krishna. And he is saying that Krishna, in his opinion, Krishna is seen through the ears. If he says that, then it definitely must be true. So then, now it is stated that Krishna is personified through sound, so we must hear that. But we can go one step further and say that not only seeing Krishna, but we can experience Krishna in our lives. We can experience Krishna through reading, I mean through hearing this transcendental sound vibration. This is a beautiful verse in 395. Really, personally I find that yesterday I came across this verse, but everyone should really remember it. It's so beautiful. And the one who gives this verse is the supreme authority, Lord Brahma. And he is Adi Kavaye. He is the first one who was imparted this knowledge by Krishna. And he says that persons who smell the aroma of your lotus feet through the air of Vedic sound, through the holes of their ears, accept your devotional service. How beautiful. The aroma of the Lord's lotus feet can be smelt, and smelling the Lord's lotus feet is exactly like touching his lotus feet. Just imagine, you're touching Krishna's lotus feet just by hearing that air of Vedic sound which goes through the holes, and then you accept devotional service. So Krishna's lotus feet is the aim for all the demigods and all the sages, and that goal can be attained just by hearing. You can smell it, you can touch it, just by hearing. And then in 3.9.11 he emphasizes on this hearing, and Brahmaji also says, what type of hearing? In 3.9.11 he says, he just Prabhupada translates this very nice word, Shruta Ikshita, as seen through the ears. That's it. Shruta Ikshita means seen through the ears. Your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing. This is really important. In the word-for-word synonyms, it is not there. Bona fide, the word is not there. But Prabhupada puts it in the translation. Through bona fide hearing. What is the meaning of bona fide hearing? That will look just down here. But after you hear, what happens? Thus the heart is cleansed, and the Lord takes his seat in your heart. The Lord takes his seat in your heart. And this is how the Lord reveals. On his own, this is how the Lord reveals. And this is what happens when we have bona fide hearing. A bona fide spiritual master is the one who has captured Krishna in his heart. He has listened, he has cleansed his heart, and Krishna has sat down in that throne in his heart. And Krishna speaks through his heart, and it comes out through the mouth as transcendental sound vibration. That sound enters through the holes of the ears, and it goes into the heart, and Krishna sits there, and then we can smell the aroma of the lotus feet of the Lord. And this is called parampara, disciplic succession. This is the real meaning. Disciplic succession is brought about through hearing, nothing else. Plainly put, disciplic succession is brought about just by hearing. So then he goes on to say, bona fide hearing, bona fide spiritual master. So we speak of spiritual master, he must be bona fide, he must be great, this and that. But the missing link is the disciple. We must be submissive. If we continue to speculate and expand, artificially expand the sense power, then the head grows big and everything else grows big and the ears get blocked. So whatever the spiritual master says will never enter. So we are the cause of this folly of ours really. Spiritual master is giving, But because of our mental speculation, this thing is taking place. So by submissive hearing. And how do we hear submissively? It's stated in 1.2.14. By one-pointed attention, we should hear. When you're one-pointed, that means your attention is not many branch. So when it's not many branch, you will definitely be submissive. Because if you're one-pointed, then naturally you're having faith in Bhagavatam. You're having faith in your spiritual master. You will not have one-pointed attention if you don't have faith in someone. So this one-pointed attention when we have, then the submissiveness is definitely there. So this one-pointed attention must be there. Okay, so now we know all this. Sound vibration we must hear, bona fide hearing must be there, chanting must be there. But one thing we must remember on top of all this, this is all what we must do. But we can never expect the Lord to descend just because we do all these things. The main thing is, it is, as Prabhupada rightfully points out in the purport, it is only by the causeless mercy of the Lord that actually we can remember the Lord. We can do so many things, but if the Lord does not will, we cannot even move an inch. We cannot even know a little dust particle on the feet of Krishna. So this we must really know. And this is very nicely stated in Katha Upanishad 1.2.23. It's in page 359 of Prabhupada Shlokas. If you have the book, you can really look this up. He says, the Lord is not known by expert explanations. He is not known by expert explanations. He is not known by vast intelligence. And he is not even known by much hearing. We have heard so much, but this verse tells us, by all this you cannot know Krishna. And the last part is the most beautiful part of the verse, because we can really feel happy. The thing is, the Lord reveals Himself to one He Himself chooses. So He Himself must choose that if I want to reveal Myself to you, then everything takes place through the disciplic succession. He is on top of the parampara. So it is only by His will that process within the disciplic succession will take place. Succession is there, parampara is there, but the process within the parampara only takes place if the Lord releases the button. If He doesn't release the button, the process will never flow and Krishna will never be revealed in our hearts. So we can come to see, we can say that, okay, since Krishna's mercy, then only we can know. We can sit in one room and say that, Krishna, I'm not going to read Bhagavatam. Because if I'm going to read, I'm definitely not going to understand you. So the thing is, you yourself reveal yourself to me. Mercy, please come, and Krishna, please reveal yourself in my heart. Within 2 hours, I think we will be in some cinema. Seriously speaking, we will be. But the thing is, the point here is, the Lord doesn't leave us hanging. He gives us the answer in 264 of Gita. Very beautifully, He tells Arjuna, one who is free from attachment and aversion. These 2 points, free from attachment. Free from attachment means you are attached to spiritual things. Free from attachment from material things. So you are attached to spiritual things. So you are attached to your devotional service, you are attached to chanting, you are attached to reading. And then he says, one who is free from aversion. What is the meaning of aversion? Aversion, free from aversion means to see Krishna's hand in everything. If you see Krishna's hand in everything, if anything bad happens or anything good happens, you will never be averse to it. Because you know that the hand of the Lord is there. You are protected. So these 2 things. And then he goes on to say, one who is able to control his senses through the regulative principles of freedom. This is really nice. Regulative principles of freedom. One may think, regulative principles and freedom, they don't even click together. No illicit sex, no gambling, no meat eating, no intoxication. Where is the freedom coming from? You are so restricted in your life. But then when we think about this, we come to know that where does our freedom lie? It lies in sense gratification. Our definition of freedom lies in sense gratification. So 4 regulative principles removes this sense gratification. And then we say, oh my God, I've lost my freedom. We're going to come for a program every Saturday, Sunday, day in, day out. One day friend calls, says, you know, Madhumon, just come, you know, it's a beautiful movie. 2.5 hours, man, after that you can go for prasadam. That is actually driving us away from that regulative principle. So that I will feel, personally I will feel that, my God, I am going for Saturday, Sunday, every week I'm going. Can I have a little bit of freedom? That word itself, can't I have a little bit of freedom, itself shows that I am so dependent on my sense gratification. Really, I'm dependent on my sense gratification. And this is the point that we must come away from. So when you follow the regulative principles, the freedom that we get is not the sense gratification freedom, but we get the freedom from material bondage. That means when you are lying at your deathbed, the Yamadutas are not going to come. The Vishnudutas are going to come. At that point, if we can remember that movie we saw for 2.5 hours by not coming for the program, then really I will take my hats off to myself. Because we are dying and Yamadutas are coming. Can you remember the movie? There's no way we can remember the movie. Whatever we do here is what we don't lose. But whatever we do in the theater for the 2.5 hours won't even come with us the next day. It really won't come with us. And so he goes on to say, when we do all this, the complete mercy is obtained. Complete mercy. That means Krishna, whatever he has, he's going to give you. Whatever he has, complete, not partial, complete mercy. Krishna is a man of his word. If he says complete, everything will come. It will come. We don't have to endeavor, you know, each and every, I must be a good person, I must do this, I must earn money. All this don't have to. Just follow this verse. And the complete mercy descends. And when the complete mercy descends, everything will be taken care of. Naturally, it will be taken care of. But all this, everything that we have spoken about now, is actually incorporated. We can see chanting, reading, all these things are incorporated where? In sadhana bhakti. This is what we have always been hearing. Improve your sadhana, everything will be good. All this reading, chanting is incorporated in the sadhana bhakti. So we have to actually take up this process. This chanting, hearing, following regulative principles, we have to take it up. But how we must take it up is without the mental speculation. You add anything to the process, it is going to backfire. Prabhupada has given the process through the channel of disciplic succession. If you are going to add anything else to it, it is going to backfire. It is like fever. If you read about fever, how fever comes about, a foreign particle enters our body. And when the foreign particle enters our body, the body reacts in a certain way. It gives off heat to actually kill this particle. You know, so we feel great discomfort. Same thing. This sadhana is there. Sadhana bhakti is there. And if we try to introduce something else into this sadhana bhakti, then this sadhana bhakti is going to react in a certain way. For us, that is. And it's going to backfire because we have added something into it. So without speculation, we must stick to the process. And then we will know that Krishna is the source and Krishna is everything. And this process, this I've heard in my dealings with Pushpagopala Prabhu. He has always told me that this sadhana bhakti you are following, you are reading, you are chanting, that is there. It does purify. But the main thing we must do, we must experience the process. We must take it upon ourselves to actually experience the process. The process works, no doubt. But how many of us are willing to take up the process and experience it? That means wake up for Mangalarti. You know, die, I will wake up for Mangalarti. Die, I will finish my 16 rounds. Die, I will read. This is called experience. And this experience of sadhana bhakti only comes when you also hear from a spiritual master. This hearing and this combination of sadhana bhakti performed by what the spiritual master says, and then when you experience it in your life, this brings about the change. So if you really see, Krishna is on top of the parampara. So the parampara structure is there. But now if you see, who is the one in charge? The structure is there, but the process is kick-started by the living entity. If you don't perform your sadhana bhakti, this button you will not press, and it will not kick-start, and it will not attract the mercy of the Lord. Only when the mercy of the Lord is attracted, He is going to reveal to the spiritual master, you should say something to him. Reveal, because the spiritual master has captured Krishna in his heart. So Krishna from within the spiritual master will reveal, and as he reveals, the cycle goes again. Goes through our ears, Krishna seated in the heart, we smell his lotus feet. So the main thing here is, it's us. Everything is there. But we are the ones who are trying to complicate things. And that is why Krishna says that the demigods nor the sages, they don't know me. And really actually he's telling us, you don't know me. And it's only because of this. So that is why Prabhupada says that the devotees, their faith and devotion bring them to surrender to Krishna immediately. So this word immediately means what? No contemplation, no speculation, don't add anything. Your spiritual master says, you read about it, you just follow it. This immediate surrender must be there. Because this time frame between that surrender and you are thinking, that is the speculation. That immediate surrender must be there. That is why Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion. Abandon everything, speculation, everything. Because some religion comes about through speculation. So you abandon everything and you surrender unto me. You surrender and I will personally take care of everything. It's really very beautiful as how Krishna says, I will personally take care of everything. You just leave everything and you just come to me and I will really take care of everything. So then, we have seen all this, that we must surrender to Krishna, we must hear, and by hearing we must surrender to Krishna. But then, all this is done just to know Krishna. All this is done to know Krishna. But then the question arises, why so many things just to know Krishna? Why must I know Krishna? Can't I live my life without knowing Krishna? The answer is no. You can't live your life without knowing Krishna. Without knowing Krishna, if you live your life, it's just like a fish out of the water. We will always be embarrassed by material nature. We will be embarrassed left, right, center by material nature because we are outside of water. Krishna is the water. And when we are outside of water, we will struggle. We will struggle. And why we must know the Lord? All this is done mainly is for the service of the Lord. We must know Krishna because we have to serve Him. So, we have to know the Lord in order to know His greatness, His kindness, as Prabhupada says, His uncommon activities. So when we know these things, then the attraction for the Lord comes. When the attraction for the Lord comes, then we know how to serve the Lord. Because if you love someone, then you'll go and find out, how am I going to serve this person? What can I do? Can I do this? Can I do that? So the attraction must grow. And from personal experience, if you just sit down during Damodar Ashtaka, and two devotees, personally I've seen, Pushpagopal Prabhu and Devaki Prabhu, they read the translation of Damodar Ashtaka. Whenever they read the translation, I don't look at the translation. I just watch their face. They are relishing. The description of Krishna, of Lord Damodar, is given in that translation. Satyavrata Muni gives beautiful explanation of Krishna. And when they read, there is so much feeling when they read. It is not so far out that only Brahmaji can do it, Dhruva Maharaj can do it. Prabhupada says we also can do it. The only thing personally even I find that I am saying to myself is Brahmaji can do it because he is exalted. Who am I? But the thing is, it is not. Prabhupada is here, spiritual master is here. We can definitely do it. We also can relish by hearing. Satyavrata Muni has given. So by reading that, through the disciplic succession, we also can relish. And this relishing factor, as you hear that Krishna has encircled hair and his mouth is like bimba fruit, repeatedly kissed by Mother Yashoda. How beautiful this is. You see any movie, you're not going to get this feeling. You may cry for 2 minutes. Maybe somebody died in the movie. But this will last even in your dreams. Everywhere it will last because it is transcendental. So this will bring about what happens is, and you can see from their conduct, they are relishing, and at every point you see, you just take their notebooks and you take their Bhagavatam. Pushpagopal Prabhu's Bhagavatam is highlighted inside out. And Devaki Prabhu has countless number of notebooks. Doesn't it relate? They are relishing the Lord's pastimes and they are trying to find out through the pages of Bhagavatam, how can I serve the Lord? How can I serve so that, you know, I may please Him? Because I love Him. I love the Lord. I love my spiritual master. And so to please them, what can I do? And how they find out? They call their spiritual master. They listen to the lectures of their spiritual master. And what they do? They go to the pages of Bhagavatam. They don't sit down in a room and speculate. They do not do that. That is how they come to the point. And all this culminates in, when we know Krishna, we will come out of 4.9 of Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Divyam, we will come out by knowing the transcendental activities of the Lord and His origin. We will come out of this cycle of birth and death. And that is really what we get when we serve the Lord. And this is a byproduct. So how much relishing can be there when we just, like what Mahaprabhu says, Lord, you do whatever you want. If we do service in that mode, how much more relishing will be there? We cannot even imagine. Grantra Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki. Thank you very much for patiently listening. So are there any comments and realizations? Balakrishnan Prabhu, can say something. Rajesh Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a nice class. And we can see the efforts that Jagannath Prabhu is putting in the youth group here. And you are representing truly about that. So we are really thankful about it. Just on this particular verse, it is really inconceivable to know Krishna, because as you said, that Brahmaji gets all the knowledge from Krishna, but yet he himself gets bewildered. And there are so many pastimes in Bhagavatam where he doesn't even understand who Krishna is, you know, when he seems like a babe, like a child or a coward boy playing, and then he just gets bewildered. In spite of he, the first knower of the Lord. And same thing, Lord Shiva, he recites Bhagavatam to Parvati. So he is in and out, knows about Bhagavatam, and he has realized it. But yet he himself also gets bewildered. So at our level, you know, it is highly impossible. So the only hope that we have is the association of devotees and as you said in your lecture, so much in emphasizing about the hearing, and but over all of this is actually the association of a pure devotee. That is the only hope, because we will also get bewildered in, I mean, it's not even just to say we are getting bewildered every moment. Even after knowing, yes, we know Krishna and we hear about so many things, but the mind gets completely off, you know, it overpowers us. So the only hope for us is the mercy, as you suggested, that we need godless mercy, but that mercy also comes from a pure devotee, you know. So the verse that you recited from, I think from Katha Upanishad, which is said that only the Lord chooses the one, but that choice of the Lord is also dependent on the pure devotee, as we always hear. If a pure devotee becomes, or even glances his mercy upon us, then Krishna is bought, in a way. That means we are guaranteed we are going back to Krishna. And we hear in and out, and especially on Radhashtami, we hear so much about it, that if we please the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, then our seat is guaranteed. So that choice of Krishna is also dependent on his pure devotees. So if a pure devotee is pleased, then that is our guarantee. So we don't even have to go that far of, you know, pleasing Krishna. Even if he pleases his pure devotees, which in one term is our spiritual masters, then that is the best, or rather the guaranteed means of going back to him and getting away from all these illusions. So as you very rightly said, to follow the instruction of the spiritual master, and then hopefully we one day realize, you know, that is what it is required to do. Thank you very much again.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for a nice class. And Rajesh Prabhu's point, really, I remember this this episode of the mercy of the Lord. And Rajesh Prabhu has so very wonderfully pointed this to us, because it is the foundation of our devotional service. Without the mercy of the pure devotee,
Whatever endeavor we make, we cannot do anything. In this, it is so appropriate that we are here remembering the pastime of Lord Krishna. And while we remember Lord Krishna and the wonderful exchange of relationship he had with Yashoda Mai, there's also the other part of this Leela where Lord Krishna delivers the two sons of Kuvera, Manigriva and Nalakuvara, from being the twin Yamla Arjuna trees. And if we read Krishna book and if we read the 10th chapter of the 10th canto in this part, there is a point where the history of the two sons of Kuvera were given. We all remember that they were actually they were sons of Kuvera and they were actually sporting in a lake, and they were so much in a drunken stupor that when Narada Muni was passing by, they did not even bother to put clothes on and receive him properly, while the others who were bathing with them actually managed to do that. So it is stated that, you know, because of their very fallen condition, as Narada Muni passed by, they just continued doing whatever activities they were doing. And Narada Muni saw them, and what he did was he gave them extra blessings. He actually cursed them. So it's a curse with, open inverted and close inverted marks, because the curse of a devotee is actually the mercy of a devotee. There is no difference. And Narada Muni was so kind to them that he actually cursed them to become trees, because he said, since you don't like to wear clothes, trees also have no clothes, so you might as well just become like them. So they became trees. And but what was the wonderful benediction was that, you know, the trees would be actually in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, and there they would spend, you know, thousands of years until the Lord himself would come to deliver them. So the Lord recalls this point when he actually delivers the two sons of Kuvera. And in 10:10:25, there is a nice verse there. The Lord is saying that although these two young men, who are the two sons of Kuvera, they are very, they have nothing to do. I have nothing to do with them, he says. But because Narada Muni is my very dear and affectionate devotee, and therefore he wanted me, by his curse, to come face to face with them, I must do so for their deliverance. And in the purport, it is very nicely stated that Krishna actually had nothing to do with these two persons. He did not pass by them, they did not pray to him, nothing was there. He was just going on with, they were just going on with their lives. And their paths never crossed the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but their paths crossed the pure devotee of the Lord. And when the pure devotee of the Lord saw them, he had enough compassion and love in his heart for the living entity, such that he actually prayed that they would come out of their fallen condition. They would come out of their difficulties of the material existence and somehow or another gain the mercy of the Lord. So why Rajesh Prabhu points this out is so nice and important for us to remember on the Damodar Ashtaka day, because the twin trees had nothing to do with Krishna, but it was the agency of the pure devotee of the Lord, the spiritual master, and the association of the devotees who are all pure and who are very exalted. It is that association that will really finally get us to maybe make some progress, if they want. And that one word in the equivalent, it is the Sanskrit is sadayishyami. And if you go back and read, Prabhupada has written it in such a way that he said that I shall execute, meaning I will execute what Narada wanted me to do, because he wanted me to come face to face with the trees. So I shall do so. So what Prabhupada says actually is actually that Krishna is bound by the loving nature of his pure devotee. So whoever the pure devotee wants to recommend to Krishna, then Krishna's mercy will flow in that direction. So thank you, Rajesh Prabhu, for making us remember this pastime, which is so relevant for Kartik Mas actually. Thank you, Prabhuji, for the class.
So this point about association is brought about. And association, we must see that it's actually hearing that brings about the association. In association, we can do so many other things and speak about so many other material things that go about in our life. But association is centered when topics about Krishna as Rajesh Prabhu is saying, that association must be there. And that association means is to actually discuss about topics about Krishna. So, if that is all, there's nothing else, we can just continue with Damodara Shtaka. Jai Shila Prabhupada ki, Jai Shila Gurudev ki, Sai Gaura Premanande. Jai Shila Prabhupada ki.